And Nigel will come and give us our gospel reading.
Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through to 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Let us pray. O Lord, may my words be your words, and your thoughts, my thoughts, that we might learn together what you want us to take away today, that we might live it out in our lives day by day. Amen. Well, Advent. That might seem a very strange reading coming towards the end of Matthew. But I don't know about you, but I like Advent. It's a busy time, I know. We're all extremely busy, aren't we, with getting ready for Christmas. For those of you who have grandchildren or even great-grandchildren, you know how busy it is getting ready. Well, Advent specifically, rather than culturally, is the Christmas season. We have the beautiful decorations. You haven't got your Christmas tree up yet. Sorry. Next week. Okay. And the sparkling lights and the mince pies. We had a Christmas fair yesterday, and so the mince pies were out. All those things are wonderful, aren't they? And it's a lot of fun for us. And I enjoy them as much as anyone else. But those things are all also, it all takes a lot of work, doesn't it? So these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas can be so hectic. So I just long to give space to reflect on this momentous occasion when Jesus came into our world. And I've been having to spend more time reflecting because I fell and broke my finger. And I haven't been able to do my sewing, which is very annoying, because I'm making gifts for all the men in my life. There are 9 of them, would you believe? Ranging from 9 months to 81. But anyway, I will get them done. So I've been able to spend more time reflecting and thinking about my Lord and what it meant to him to come to this earth as a tiny baby to sacrifice himself for us. So I want to hear, O come, Emmanuel, and remember that God is coming into this world as an act of God's great self-giving love, and take a deep, calming breath, because my job right now is to wait. And then we get this reading today, and it says, what does it say? Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And it'll be like the flood coming to sweep everything away. And it'll be like two people at work, and one is suddenly taken with no explanation. And it'll be like the thief breaking into a house in the middle of the night. This is not the Advent I'm longing for. It does sound really scary and nothing at all like Emmanuel, God with us. Why in the world is this the gospel text, as I said at the beginning? Why is it the gospel text for this week of Advent, the week where we're encouraged to reflect on hope? Well, there are some very good reasons for this reading. In fact, they're reasons that help us to develop a deeper understanding of what it means to hope and to wait. Firstly, the historical community addressed by this apocalyptic end times is a community caught in the in-between. They are in-between culturally, in the tug of war between Jews and Gentiles, in the developing Christian faith. Many scholars think that the Gospel of Matthew is addressed to a mixed community in Syria that is trying to hold on to the significance of Jewish heritage in the aftermath of a falling out between the synagogue and the church. So, the original hearers of this text are trying to understand how to follow Jesus in a way that embraces his new teachings without abandoning what they already know. New things are really tough, aren't they? All this technology that we have today. I'm in awe of your screen. It's amazing. Secondly, they are also in between in their understanding of how God in human history brings about... Sorry, let me repeat that. They are also in between in their understanding of how God is acting in human history to bring about God's kingdom. And the Gospel of Matthew presents an understanding of two ages. One is the current age. This age is marked by idolatry, sin, injustice, exploitation, sickness, animosity between nature and humankind, violence and death. Does this sound familiar? Is that what's happening today in the world? And the squabbles with the nations. But this contrasts with the new age that will cure all these ills in the perfect rule of God. The community in Matthew's time is waiting expectantly for this second age and maybe getting a bit tired of waiting. It's in this in-between background that the Christian community is called to actively hope, to engage, both with contrasting cultural expectations, and don't we have that even in this town? We have all the different cultures that we can think of, and also with the brokenness of our world. I don't know about you, but it makes me weep to see what is happening in Ukraine. And we have a family living in the community, a mother and son, whose husband is in the south of Ukraine having to face all the bombs and all the anguish that that's causing. So we need to engage in a way that is informed by the unfailing expectation that God is acting to bring about the redemption of our world. In the context of a conflict zone between the ages, the community is called to keep living faithfully as Jesus taught them to live. Is that what God is calling us to do? To live faithfully? And just so in our context, a context that certainly knows its share of division within the faith community and fatigue with witnessing to hope in the face of a broken world. We too are called to keep living faithfully as Jesus has taught us to live. But what does that mean exactly? What does it look like for us to keep awake? It certainly can't mean that we can never physically fall asleep, because God has given us finite human bodies that can't function without sleep. He's given us night and day, and he's given our bodies to sleep at certain times. The text talks about staying awake to prevent a thief from breaking into the house. But protecting our possessions is not what Jesus talked about in his ministry. So what does he mean about keeping awake? In Luke chapter 21, Jesus speaks to his followers, warning them that they cannot know the precise time that God's kingdom is going to break in. The point was not to leave us in fear, but rather to exhort us. Do not be terrified. This is an opportunity to testify. So too here, the point of keeping awake is not the wakefulness itself. It's what we do with our consciousness. When we are paying attention, we can see the need of the world around us. We can see the need of revelers who focus only on their own pleasures, as in the time of Noah. We can see the need of the workers going about their daily tasks. Perhaps we can even see the need of the thief who is planning to break in and steal. We can see them all in their need for the coming of Christ, and then we can respond to those needs. With both our testimony and our activity, we don't stay awake just for the sake of brownie points. We stay awake because there is work to do. There is one further source of hope to be found in the gospel reading. When I read the words, keep awake, I think of the time when Jesus asks his disciples to stay awake while he goes a few yards away to pray in preparation for his crucifixion. But the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane fall asleep. When Jesus challenges them for their weakness, they all respond with the same words. Everyone else may fall away, Lord, but I never will. They all say the same thing, but they're all wrong. They make a promise they can't keep, and they propose to just judge their own faithfulness based on doing better than the others, rather than leaning on each other to be more faithful together. So with this in mind, I read today's gospel exhortation that therefore you also must be ready with a question. Who is the you being addressed? In the Greek, the you addressed is plural. And that makes all the difference for how we understand the task of keeping awake to be ready for Christ's coming. We wait and we prepare and we witness together. None of us are alone. Yes, we have Christ dwelling inside us, but he also gives us companions on the way, doesn't he? He gives us one another so that we're not alone in this job of being Christians. This is the hope of the first week of Advent. We don't wait alone. On our own, we can never be ready. We can't stay awake the whole night, or for that matter, build the ark by ourselves either. We can't witness effectively, and we certainly can't respond effectively to the ills of this world. But we aren't exhorted to wait or to be ready by ourselves. A scholar says, we wait for Christ's coming by becoming Christ's people. Becoming a people requires togetherness, interdependence and trust, and the willingness to learn, to lean on each other, and work together to make this world look more like the prophecy from Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5. And I challenge you to go home and read that. So we're given each other. Christ gives us to each other so that we can remind each other of the promise that Christ is coming to make the world new. And that, in the meantime, we can witness to that hope in a way that transforms us and our world. It may not be the quiet and peaceful waiting we might want from Advent, but it's so much better. It's waiting that reminds us that we can do the work Jesus has given us to do because he has given us each other as companions in the waiting. And because the work he has given us to do is to witness and work for our hope that he is indeed coming to transform the world and that he calls us to be part of that transformation. So keep awake. We have wonderful work to do if we take up courage and know that our hope in Christ is there for us to lean on and to lean on each other at this time. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word that teaches us so many things, that teaches us to hope in you. And we thank you that you didn't leave your disciples alone either, that they were given the Holy Spirit and they still worked in pairs and surrounded themselves with the other believers to do your work. So we pray that you will indeed equip each one of us to be your workers in this harvest field. Amen.